Cannabis Business Minds, we train and mentor professionals, entrepreneurs, and aspiring entrepreneurs on how to confidently find their place in the legal cannabis and hemp industries. Come on and join us at CannabisBusinessMinds.com.
Thank you for joining us here today. This is one of the final podcasts. I have the pleasure of introducing my colleagues from Vicente to really talk everything about cannabis, about hemp, operating a business, and really what it takes to be part of the cannabis world. Today we have with us Shawn Hauser, who is a partner here at Vicente, and she is one of our experts talking about hemp. Shawn, why don't you give us a little bit about your intro and your background?
Sure. Thanks. And thanks for having me on the podcast. It's actually a great time to talk about hemp. I'll get to it in a little bit, but we've got the 2023 Farm Bill coming ahead. But so yeah, I have been at Vicente for about a decade in cannabis and drug law reform and policy for about 13 years, starting, you know, with the kind of inception of the medical and then adult use cannabis programs here in Colorado. And in, you know, developing cannabis regulations, Colorado is actually one of the first states to include hemp in its legalization of cannabis. We were one of like the last industrialized countries to legalize hemp, and it sort of got kind of forgotten as, you know, medical and adult use cannabis reform started progressing. So in 2014, when the first Farm Bill came out federally, which Governor Polis is now our governor here in Colorado, was a big part of, we, you know, started developing the hemp industry and in the U.S. and at Vicente, and I've been leading that work along with wonderful colleagues and. You know, getting here today, we're sort of in a space where we're looking at how is the hemp industry integrating, you know, with the cannabis industry, and where is it going to go when everything's legal? But yeah, I really enjoyed kind of what I've learned from hemp and cannabis, and integrating that into my work in broader cannabis law and policy.
You know, it's interesting because policy has been such a huge part of this, policy and politics when it comes to legalization. And that's sort of what happens as states have to legalize individually, and we don't have the benefit of federal legalization. Can you talk to us a little bit about whether or not hemp is legal at the federal level? You know, what's the current status of that plant? You know, the plant's all one plant, but I feel like people get really confused between hemp and cannabis and what that means. So if you could take us back to, is it legal? How is it legal? Where is it legal?
Absolutely. You know, and it gets confusing because, you know, they're really the same plant. The legal distinction is based on THC content and ultimately which regulatory regime it's grown under. But hemp is a federally legal, not controlled substance. It's in the 2018 Farm Bill specifically carved out from the Controlled Substances Act definition of marijuana, hemp, which is the part of the cannabis plant, less than 0.3% THC on a dry weight basis. And the intent was to take, you know, hemp, which was intended for industrial uses and food and dietary supplements, and regulate it as an agricultural commodity that would then go into, you know, legal consumer goods as an ingredient, you know, or industrial product. And what the Farm Bill did is said, you know, hemp, if it's less than the 0.3, it's specifically not a controlled substance, and it's now an agricultural crop under the purview of the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture. Whereas marijuana, and where hemp was previously, was a controlled substance under DEA, and you had to have a registration to even grow it or possess it. And the Farm Bill in legalizing hemp said, we expressly preserve the authority of the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, to regulate the legality of finished goods and, you know, what is safe in a food, a dietary supplement, a cosmetic, a medical device, and delegated that to them. And FDA is still 5 years today after the Farm Bill. They finally said this year, you know, we don't think the food and dietary supplement framework is really appropriate, even for CBD and certain other hemp ingredients. And I can get more into that. So we're still in this kind of murky federal legal area where, even though hemp is not a controlled substance, a lot of the hemp products aren't legal under the FDA, but they're legal to grow and possess. So kind of like you could grow hops, but your beer's not legal yet, is sort of where we are with hemp federally. But because the FDA took so long, and you know, the hemp industry is so promising and there's so much consumer demand for hemp products, the industry grew and states developed hemp programs. And just like with cannabis, states stepped into the federal regulatory vacuum and they began regulating consumer goods and sort of acting as mini FDAs and developing product safety regulations for finished hemp products. So pretty much all states now, the Farm Bill let states determine whether they wanted to have legal hemp programs, and states could have their own hemp farming programs under state law, or they could fall under federal licensure. And if they have their own state plans, they just have to comply with certain USDA standards for reporting and compliance in cultivation. And a lot of states, including Colorado, have, you know, very robust hemp farming programs. But, you know, most states are, you know, really struggling to act as mini FDAs because it's a difficult, and, you know, novel regulatory world. And it's really very challenging for businesses to have, you know, 50 different laws governing, you know, what can be in your, hemp product as far as CBD content, or in what type of label you have to have, and what are your testing requirements, and you know, what are packaging and what's allowed and what's not. And in some states they allow CBD and consumable hemp goods, some states don't, some states only allow them in certain, you know, potencies, some states allow them only in cannabis stores. It's just kind of a constantly moving goalpost and target in each state for the finished good regulation. But to be clear, the possession and the cultivation of hemp, which is cannabis under 0.3% THC on a dry oil basis, is fully legal. It's the regulation of, you know, finished consumable goods that is still needing some work.
So for someone who is looking to be in the hemp world, but not necessarily the cannabis world, do you find that at the state level, they are governed by two different agencies, or have states begun to sort of put them under one umbrella?
They're usually two different agencies. Usually the state departments of agriculture are governing production. And then, you know, sort of like with cannabis, it's often the state departments of public health and safety, or state regulatory agencies that regulate cannabis, gaming type licenses, alcohol, that regulate the retail or finished goods. So it depends on whether you're a cultivator, processor, producer, or testing labs. And right now, actually, hemp testing labs still have to be registered with the DEA, which is something that's been very challenging for labs, and the DEA, you know, hasn't licensed a lot of labs because they're anticipating that requirement going away. And that's something I expect will change here soon.
So what do you see as some of the greatest challenges? I mean, obviously, hemp and cannabis is one plant, depending on which part of the plant, depending upon which potency level and, you know, which molecular makeup of it, you know, is piecing, depending is what you're talking about. But what do you think the greatest challenges for the hemp industry is at the moment?
I think the biggest challenge continues to be regulatory uncertainty and instability as far as finished product regulation. And I think it's something, as we're nearing legalization of cannabis, we have to look at it as something we can't do again. And that's meaning legalizing a substance intending for full finished goods and a full economy to be in place, but only legalizing production and putting, you know, regulation of finished products down the road and putting it under the purview of the FDA, which frankly has a framework that it itself admits isn't appropriate for cannabis products other than drugs. And I think that, you know, what's happened with hemp is clearly shows us that, you know, except for certain ingredients which have the safety profiles to be food and dietary supplement ingredients, they're, you know, generally recognized safe for use in food, which like isn't supposed to be psychoactive. The FDA's framework isn't built for cannabis. It, you know, frankly, like there's a big movement to reform DSHEA, the dietary supplement framework, and the food framework. DSHEA hasn't been reformed since the invention of the internet. And, you know, it's just not built for cannabis other than drug approvals. And that's why the FDA has been stuck. And where we've, you know, had Congress and, you know, leaders like Mitch McConnell championing farmers and a hemp economy and saying, we made you legal, but just the production, we don't, you know, we didn't really think about finished goods. And then, you know, that really actually hurt a lot of farmers and a lot of industries. And we haven't seen, you know, as much movement in bigger CPG companies like Pepsi and Nestle, you know, in the space as anticipated because the FDA has taken so long. And then I think where the challenge we're seeing now as the industry is innovated and we've learned so much more about the plant, because until the 2014 Farm Bill, we couldn't research cannabis at all. Like the DEA wasn't issuing licenses to research cannabis unless you had a NIDA license, you couldn't do it. And now we're learning like all of these different cannabinoids. It's not just CBD. CBN is good for sleep and CBG may make you focus. And some of these aren't intoxicating and some are. And you might be able to convert certain cannabinoids into others. And there's all sorts of amazing power with the plant and, you know, consumer benefit to the plant. And we're realizing, you know, oh, actually from the hemp plant, we can produce what are commonly called intoxicating cannabinoids, which, you know, are more akin to what's in the regulated cannabis market. People are using them to achieve, you know, a certain psychoactive or intoxicating effect. To be produced safely, they need to be subject to certain manufacturing and testing and packaging and labeling standards that, you know, absent FDA regulation in either realm, states have really thoughtfully developed for cannabis around the safety of THC and other intoxicants and the, you know, the safety of the plant. So where the industry is struggling now is, you know, how are intoxicating hemp products going to be regulated ultimately? Are they going to continue to be regulated as hemp? Are they going to, you know, fall within cannabis regulation federally? Or are we going to continue to have states do it differently? And, you know, the state patchwork is just extremely difficult in practice because it varies so much from state to state, but also state agencies don't really have the resources to enforce it. And, you know, the FDA at the same time hasn't enforced its position that, you know, most of these ingredients are illegal. So the companies that are complying with, you know, fundamental product safety standards, GMP, you know, making sure there's no contaminants, heavy metals, you know, truth in packaging and labeling are playing in the same playing field with, you know, companies who are not and are making dangerous products. And of course, any product can be made unsafely if you don't follow, you know, fundamental product safety standards, and especially products with intoxicating effects. So the industry is really struggling with that, you know, sort of playing field and remaining uncertainty on what's going to happen federally. And then, you know, I think that makes it very difficult for regulators and consumers too. And it's, you know, been very harmful to the industry itself. It's made for a very dysfunctional and unstable supply chain. Very difficult to get investment in, you know, basic financial services, banking, and, you know, it shouldn't be this way. It's a really promising industry and a promising plant and a time when these are farming jobs, these are manufacturing jobs, and there's so much environmental benefit from industrial hemp too. And, you know, we're at a time when we should really be focusing resources there on plastics and, you know, alternatives for oils and biofuels and hempcrete. And it's such an important new industry that we really need to give it a stable regulatory structure on federal and state levels.
I feel that at times, you know, having served in the legislature and then having been a cannabis regulator, I've seen it from sort of all the angles. Former Commissioner Doyle used to say I was the only person in Massachusetts who voted on the ballot question, voted on the law, and then implemented the actual law, right? And so, you know, having seen it from a multitude of perspectives, I think oftentimes when new industries come into the state, there's a lack of education, there's a lack of understanding, because it's new. And because, you know, you said that there haven't been updates since the internet was created. And a lot of times that's what happens to our laws, right? There's no one looking through the law books to say, we've got to update X, Y, and Z. And so as legalization of cannabis happens, and then, you know, and hemp sort of attached to that in a way, a lot of the laws aren't thought about. A lot of the regulatory structures aren't planned out. And so this piecemeal effect that you get is an effort on the behalf of the government to do something, but what that something is, we don't know. And it ends up being the consumer who suffers, because what you really want them to have is a safe product and a well-labeled product so that they know what they're getting. And I think hemp's a perfect example because of all the components and the makeup of the plant. There are various pieces that people may want to use it to go to sleep, or they may want to use it to focus, or they're looking for that increased THC level, which then turns into cannabis, which is a whole other regulatory structure. So it's difficult to have that piecemealed effect. And I don't think people quite understand the difference between the legislative changes and the regulatory changes, right? So the legislative changes puts it in statute that makes it law. The regulatory changes are just the rules that sort of enact that law. Have you seen states taking action even today on hemp laws, or, you know, are there hemp bills before our state legislatures that they're trying to figure this out?
Absolutely. There's more action in hemp, you know, as the industry continues to innovate, and frankly, as consumer demand grows for cannabis generally. And I think you're exactly right. It's a lack of education. And, you know, I think in states like Kentucky and Texas and Tennessee, their education on hemp was they're legalizing an agricultural commodity. And, you know, maybe we're going to get some like hemp seed food products and some hemp oils, but they certainly weren't intending to legalize products with similar effects as, you know, the marijuana we buy in Colorado. But that's what happens. And the market, because the market's there, consumers want it. Consumers are finding benefits from it. You know, in Texas, where I'm from, and I can, you know, we worked on passing the hemp bill there. I can tell you, like Mitch McConnell, the conservative Texas leadership did not intend to legalize marijuana, and they did not develop a regulatory framework, you know, with the safety standards and controls and oversight to regulate marijuana. But because they don't have, you know, an effective hemp program, you actually have a huge population of veterans in Texas who is using intoxicating hemp as medicine because it's safer and more effective than opiates, and it's changing their life. And you see these markets, you know, in other states too, like I was saying, Tennessee, Kentucky, and was it what was intended? No, but that market and demand is there. And now that it's out there and consumers have access, they want it. And in some ways, hemp is going to, you know, push marijuana legalization because they're going to have no other choice than to provide access and to make it safe and regulated. But because of the growth and the demand for the intoxicating hemp market, and that the rules that these states have developed, you know, have allowed it, states are scrambling to adjust their regulations so that in some of these conservative states, you know, they're banning things like Delta 8, hemp derived Delta 9, the intoxicating hemp products, to try and go back and square with their original intent to legalize, you know, industrial hemp. But they're not really having the enforcement resources to enforce those laws. And then, you know, a lot of other states, Colorado being a primary one, are looking at how does this work with the marijuana programs, and, you know, should the hemp industry be able to sell similar products without going through the same regulatory oversight, the same licensure requirements, without the, you know, the 280E burdens, and, you know, what is best for product safety, and how do these industries work together? Can hemp make an ingredient and sell it into marijuana? Is that fair? And, you know, there's the public safety considerations, which are, of course, at the forefront of the debate. And then, you know, also the supply chain, the business and economics considerations. It's very complicated. And, you know, states are looking to each other. We've got the 2023 Farm Bill coming ahead, you know, along with federal scheduling reform, and the FDA saying, after, you know, 5 years of evaluating the safety of CBD, saying we're not going to do anything and Congress should develop a new framework. And I think, you know, states don't have a ton of faith in that happening anytime soon. So they've got to beef up their regulations and adjust their statutes to square more with their intent. And I think what we're seeing is, because the federal farm bill's legalization of hemp was on a percentage weight basis, which was never intended for finished products. You know, finished product in cannabis is often measured in milligrams or by volume, because when you combine the cannabis ingredient and THC and all the cannabinoids with the weight of a gummy or the weight of a tincture, you know, that impacts the THC, and you can actually have 0.3% dry weight. And, you know, if you're adding the weight of a gummy, you could have you know, a very high THC product, more than what's allowed in many marijuana states. So a lot of states are moving to regulate finished products, you know, with a different serving size standard other than a dry weight basis. And then that's, you know, different in each state. And that is very confusing for everybody.
Well, it's got to be difficult, right? So you're an operator and you want to go into multiple states, and you have multiple agencies with simple rule differences, that creates a heavy burden on operators. What have you heard from operators? Is it difficult to operate in the hemp market? Are they finding it getting any easier because, you know, some of the states are becoming more accepting, or they're better understanding the issue of hemp, and instead of just grouping it into, you know, one umbrella of a regulatory process? Is it difficult for operators to operate these days?
It's extremely difficult. And I think, you know, it's gotten more difficult, you know, even as more states have been permissive of hemp and finished products, the layers of different regulations that are rarely enforced, you know, are very difficult, and the compliance costs associated, you know, are really impractical. And like, it's not, there's no universal label you can have to be compliant with all 50 states. There's, you know, some states you can have 2.5 milligrams per serving, and other states, you know, it might be 5, and you have to come up with a product that is going to be compliant in your target states. And then that goalpost is probably going to move this year. And, you know, it might change federally. And then when you're talking to an investor, you have to explain that to them, and, you know, they're going to get spooked by it. So it's really hard. And like I said, I think what's really challenging is, you know, there's a lot of really amazing companies that invest a lot in, you know, fundamental product safety, like testing, good manufacturing practices, you know, purity, you know, food and pharmaceutical standards. And they, because there's the states don't have resources to enforce, and, you know, it's, the FDA is not like coming to inspect these businesses. They're just playing in the same sandbox with, you know, sort of non-compliant actors, and it's difficult to compete in the market, and it's tough for consumers to know the difference. So it's incredibly difficult. And, you know, the industry has had, like cannabis, you know, challenges getting organized to push to influence, you know, real changes in federal state laws. It's, you know, been difficult to move even bipartisan supported, you know, what seemed like no-brainer bills through Congress. And the state laws, there's really smart, you know, diverse group of stakeholders that spend a lot of, you know, time and money developing good state regulations, and then they're not enforced, and then they change. So it's tricky, but it's also, you know, I think part of the duty and responsibility of being in this new industry, and I think something that's going to inform broader cannabis regulation going forward by learning the hard way. But we really need a federal solution and more state coordination to be where the industry deserves to be.
I feel like that would be helpful on the cannabis side too. I mean, I think we're all waiting to see what the feds do with legalization in general and how that plays out. And, you know, as a former regulator, you know, all the work we did to stand cannabis up in Massachusetts and then work with our Mass Department of Agriculture to deal with the hemp side of it, are the feds going to undo everything we all had to do?
Yeah.
And that's sort of the question is, are they going to just unravel everything we did? Don't buy too many labels if you're an operator, because they're going to change.
Definitely in hemp. And frankly, like, hemp and cannabis really need to work together. Right now with intoxicating hemp, there's been this divide where it's, who gets this market? And it's like, look, this whole plant, we're all on the same side. It needs to be regulated and not controlled. And we need to have a broader regulatory structure that allows for all these products. And it shouldn't be as burdensome and, you know, as the cannabis regulatory structures are in some states where it's impractical. And it shouldn't be as loose as some of the hemp regulations are in some states where it doesn't do enough to, you know, have fundamental product safety standards. But we're the same plant, and, you know, there's a lot of similarities, and we need a structure that allows for a stable, you know, regulatory regime for both. And we need to be working together, not against each other. We got bigger enemies out there, and not a lot of resources. So, you know, I hope the industry can work together more. So we have a lot to learn from each other.
So one last question I always ask is, what advice do you have for people looking to get into the industry? Obviously, Vicente helps people, their consultants or attorneys. Like, you know, there's the services that we provide here. But what advice do you give anyone who's trying to just get in to this industry?
Yeah, I think that the cannabis industry remains very promising. Like, look, it's only going in one direction. This is still the ground floor. And, you know, these are early years of fighting out of like decades of prohibition. I mean, you know, and we fought to get legal. Like, these are our first legal years. It's not going to change overnight. And if you have a good team and you make, you know, a smart business plan, and you are informed on where the regulations are and where they could be going, and understand it's part of the job to be a part of shaping them as, you know, being in the industry, you can succeed. And there's a ton of opportunity out there. And if you get to, you know, focus on fundamentals, like basic product safety and, you know, not doing too many things at once and having a strong team, I think there's tremendous opportunity in, you know, clear growing consumer demand and a great opportunity to influence, you know, law and policy for the future, you know, as an operator in this space. So, you know, I think focusing on fundamental compliance and product safety and being informed and engaged in the law and policy is where I guide people. Like I said, having a good team and people you trust and enjoy with, like we do.
It's certainly an adventure, I will say, having watched people try to enter the space of cannabis in general. It's such an adventure because there are so many components to it that you don't even think of. You know, everyone is worried about compliance, but at the same time, you have licensing, enforcement, and local inspections and local permitting and whatnot. It's almost like there needs to be a course in how to open a business. But the insight that you give us into hemp, I mean, I think really the important, one of the important takeaways is that it's just, it's not over. I mean, things are constantly evolving and there's such an important piece to pay attention to when it comes to the regulatory practices of your state, what the legislature may be doing with bills that are before them. Cause there are still people that are looking to change the way things are. There are still people looking to get rid of it. And if they don't want it here and they don't want a legal product. But there are also people pushing to make it safer and make the product as safe as they can. And with that comes a whole host of regulatory changes. So thank you so much for being with us today. We're going to give all your contact information so people can contact you if they want to contract with Vicente or they have questions for you.
Yeah, absolutely. No, thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's show. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcast. And if you enjoyed this, leave us a 5-star review. Make sure that you share this episode on your social media and tag us in the Instagram stories. You can find us wherever you go on social media. Just look up Cannabis Business Minds. Have an idea for the show or something that you want to talk about? Shoot us an email at podcast@cannabisbusinessminds.com.